I like, you're the Tibetan group, and one guy's like, om, and the next guy's like, om.
All right, we'll move on.
This is the first music.
The original kings of podcasting, starring Mark Chambers and Todd Petty. Episode 3, Pod Tropes.
Oh.
This is Mark Chambers.
This is Todd Perry.
Original kings of podcasting.
King Chambers.
King Perry.
Yes. That's not the usual. I feel like you're enjoying this recording session, so you didn't give me a...
I no longer feel the crushing weight of life.
the crushing weight of pod? Or
no, I... Now, I will say I'm burdened. I am burdened with pod.
Okay.
With a need to carry the pod torch, if you will, to carry the old ways.
Yes.
You know, as we've discussed, this is the original trilogy. This is we're the Rebel Alliance. I don't know what you want to call. We're the deposed kings. We have to represent.
And when we came up in podcasting, I believe it was a different time.
Absolutely.
It was a completely different time. It was actually...
We were young. We didn't know what we were doing.
Yeah, fucking around.
Yeah, just a couple of crazy kids.
And there was nobody who had any name that would dip their balls in the world of podcasting.
There was no formula to it.
No.
There was nothing that was constraining you. There was no barrier with which to measure your success.
The only thing was, how do we do a radio show in this new form with no callers?
Right.
And it exists creating that. And then we're like, oh, but wait, there's a freedom we couldn't do on the radio.
Right.
Let's exploit that.
Right.
And then I think if people have heard the old show.
The previous shows.
The
past project.
Other installments. Mm-hmm. Other attempts at pod, basically.
Mm. Yeah.
People have heard those. They might have gleaned slightly, just slightly, that these gentlemen making these podcasts were doing it with an air towards expanding the idea of the format. Now, I don't want to get...
Too pompous?
Too royal?
Regal?
Regal? I believe...
As dogs fight in the background?
Much like an ex-president, you believe that history will exonerate you when they tell the tale of podcasting. When Giovanni writes his coffee table book on pod, I feel like people can say...
There's a plane going over while dogs fight in the background. This is old school pod.
This is real pod. This is out of the studio.
That's right.
This is... We are not known comedians.
That's right.
We are not guys trying to sell a bigger project.
Right.
We're not guys trying to sell tickets to our next comedy show.
We're not going on tour.
No. We are podcasters.
I'm in the hole. It costs hundreds of dollars for me to fly down here to be here.
Of course it does.
I do that because I want to do pod.
Exactly. And you want to do pod, but you don't want to do pod that pod became.
Mm-mm.
When pod was just an open desert of do whatever you want.
Yeah.
It was so satisfying.
Yeah.
But then people could put constraints on pod.
Yeah.
Pod became a genre of communication.
Pod became its own thing. Podcasting wasn't a delivery mechanism for audio anymore. It was a genre like comedy or drama.
Yes.
And because it became a genre, certain threads began to emerge.
It birthed.
Characteristics
Yes.
Became common.
There was a certain fruit that came from the pod tree.
Yes. And in entertainment, you know, in television and movies and even radio, they identify those commonalities, those emulating others, or those themes that emerge, and they call them tropes.
Yes. Okay, can I write that down real quick?
Tropes. T-R-O-P-E-S.
Is that like trope, like Saint-Tropez?
No. I'm not really educated.
O-P-E.
I didn't go to college.
Okay. Well, that might have been why you approached podcasting with such an open mind.
Yeah, I didn't know any better.
Yeah.
So tropes. There's TV tropes. So it's easy to identify some pod tropes.
It's easy to identify a podcast now.
Yeah.
If you were to just play random audio.
They're like, that's from a podcast.
That's from a podcast.
I can pick out tropes.
Yeah.
Pod tropes.
There are tropes flying at me.
Yeah. Podtropes.org, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can go to podtropes.org.
Put them up there.
Put them up on podtropes.org.
Celebrate them.
I want to collect all the pod tropes that we all collectively know.
Now, I believe that the tree...
And we're going to seed it, first of all. We're going to seed it with all the ones we discuss here today, but I want to collect everyone's.
Yes, please put them up at whatever website or whatever.
Podtropes.org. You can find it from ogkinks.com, but it'll be podtropes.org.
I believe
this is a multi-domain endeavor.
I believe there's a link at firstworldproblems.org.
How dare you?
That goes right into...
That's not... So those other two were real, but that third one wasn't.
Actually, my friend owns firstworldproblems.org.
Really?
He has never used it.
God damn it.
He's sitting on it.
Can he point it at ogkings.com?
He probably could.
Kingsofpodcasting.com is also ours. We covered it. Yeah. That's a pod foul.
Yeah.
We should probably get podfouls.org too.
But now, here's the funny thing. As we get into this, there's a weird thing that happened in between what is a podcast, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like when we first started doing that, the endeavor we did many years ago.
Yes.
Decades ago. And then to now, when that endeavor began, if I would talk to just a layman on the street, they would say, what is a podcast?
Right. I'm doing a podcast. What is that?
Now, the conversation, it's different.
Mm.
It's, Todd, what were you doing for 5 hours today in your garage?
Mm-hmm.
And I say, I'm not telling you what I was doing.
Right.
Because now I feel there is a stigma.
Oh, totally.
Towards casting pod.
That
developed. That went from, what is that, to there was about 1 week of you're doing something kind of edgy and cool,
mm-hmm.
to, oh, that's just like my neighbor Sal is doing one in his garage.
Yeah. So there's when I was at Guitar Center buying some gear.
Oh.
So part of this endeavor, part of the original kings.
Of podcasting.
We're recording independently as well as some studio sessions together. And by studio, I mean the garage.
Mm-hmm.
The OG garage.
Yes. The OG king garage.
Mm-hmm. I prefer OG. I prefer to think of it as original gentleman.
Yes.
As well. Not original gangsters.
Yeah.
Original gentlemen.
Well, I mean, that's your choice.
Yeah.
I'm a gangster.
Okay. I was auditioning microphones at the Guitar Center.
Yes.
Because Mr. Commission. I didn't have commissions.com.
So you didn't know.
I didn't know where I was being steered and if it was altruistic or if it was... if they had ulterior motives.
Were nefarious.
Nefarious motives. So I said, if you're going to push me towards the Sennheiser versus the Shure, I'm going to need to hear them both. And he hooked them up to a PA and said, you know, sing a few bars into each.
And what song? Were you going to do one of your hits like Firework? Or
I said, I'm not a singer.
Maybe Poker Face, maybe?
I actually would sing, except my voice is screwed up.
Yeah. I thought that was just because you hadn't cast pod that your voice was distressed.
It's all smoky and mysterious.
It's like Mark Hamill after the car accident between Star Wars and the Empire Strikes
Back. I have
a
pod scar.
Yeah.
So I asked him to audition some microphones and he said, sing a few bars of whatever. And I said, I don't sing. And he said, I assumed you were buying all this gear because I was buying a Mackie and I was buying mic stands and all that. And he's like, I assumed you were buying all this and DIs because you're a singer, a vocalist.
Yeah.
Because you're buying vocal mics. And I said, it's for voiceover work.
Because?
And he said, so what, like you're recording a podcast or something? And what I said, and I immediately said, no.
Did you give him body language that showed him that you might, that might be contrary to actually your verbiage?
Absolutely. And I said, no, it's voiceover work. I record narrations for videos. And he said, okay. Okay.
Right. He
okay,
knew.
Buddy.
He knew.
So there's a stigma. It's there's like, a total stigma.
It's like if you were to go into the Ralphs and buy a bunch of razor blades and straws, and you said, no, I'm making a ship in a bottle. I'm not snorting methamphetamine. All
correct.
Night.
Correct. Yeah. No, I'm trying to exceed the legal maximums of the pseudoephedrine I can buy or whatever, because, you know, I'm just really congested.
Yeah.
So there's some pod tropes that you can identify. And this is lent itself to the, this is lent to the stigma. Yeah. This is the source of the stigma.
It's because it's not, I don't believe that we're part of the pod problem. Now, may I be so bold? I mean, we've already made a show called The Original Kings of Podcasting. So I feel like if
you can't be any more bold than you've already been.
Thank you. We came out bold. And continue to be bold. Mark Chambers. Cheers.
Cheers.
So, yeah, so we have different tropes now. I'll start off with some of my tropes.
Hit me with one.
One of them is, the TMI intro. And you will find this on many podcasts, and that's where the host, who might later segue into a comedian interview.
Yes.
But they might just start off by themselves. And start off with talking about personal problems they have. Where they're going to be like, you know, I've been feeling very insecure this week because I had to have dinner with my family.
Right.
And because I'm a substantial person, I have problems with my family. Right. I've been very put upon and I'm emotionally distressed and I can't deal with normal emotions.
Right.
And you'll have this because a lot of people think that having some kind of psychological problem or anxiety makes you a substantial person.
Right.
Which, usually, people who are substantial are people who know how to fucking deal with that shit.
Right.
Those are the true substantial people. Right. And there's a thing in podcasting where I think people, they think, oh, I don't have any personality, therefore, I've got to drum up problems.
Yeah, I have emotional problems. I have problems with my father. I have problems with girls. I have problems with my family. Yeah.
They have that. And it's akin to like things like, you know, I can't eat gluten.
Right.
Because if you're affluent and you have no real problems, you feel like having some kind of health scare.
I don't want to meet my girlfriend's parents. I don't want to, you know, she's going to be all weird about it.
It gives you personality or it gives you edge.
Yeah.
Because you have no edge. So you have to have a health problem. Right?
Sure. Sure.
And so you'll have this TMI intro on your shows. Now, the only person who can have this is Marc Maron.
Right.
Marc Maron does it brilliantly.
Yes.
And he created it.
Yes.
So he can own it. But I've heard on lots of shows, like somebody, just starting off their show, like, I've been feeling really insecure of recent. And I'm just thinking, like, why are you telling me this? This has no benefit. Like, you're not being open. You're being cliche open.
So
you're not
can
being
I
open?
Can I propose a new name for the trope?
Yes.
Pod motions. You got podcast emotions.
Do we have any music to go with that? Do we have any royalty free music to go with that?
I think I might have a royalty free track that is perfect for having pod motions.
As kings of podcasting, can I have some pod motions over that music? Would that be okay? All right.
Is this eliciting some pod motions from you?
I'm feeling them deeply.
Yeah. Can you up? Just a little bit. Yeah.
I've been having a hard time identifying with my cat when I watch Girls. My cat seems to get just a little bit distressed, and it makes me anxious.
Is your cat's name Benedict Cumbercat?
Yes.
Yes.
But the sad thing is that the cat's a woman, and has to be known as, you know, Cumberdict. And whenever I'm watching Girls and Gemma comes on, like the Australian or English one, the cat gets very upset, and I have this spiritual animal disimbalance where the cat is my spiritual animal, but so is Jenna.
Oh, no.
And it's really put me off this week because I have to meet my father, who is an affluent lawyer.
Oh.
And he never, like, provided with us, and he wasn't around that much when we were kids. So later on this show, we're going to have, you know, Doug Loves Movies is coming on. And we're gonna do a little interview with Doug Loves Movies. We're going to talk about the movies coming on. We're going to talk about weed. We're going to talk a lot about weed on that show. And the great thing is, we're going to talk about weed. We're going to talk about the first time we smoke weed, second time we smoke weed, things we like doing when we smoke weed, and things we eat while smoking weed. Mark Chambers, I'm going to throw it to you. How are you doing this week?
Oh, man. You know, I've been great. I'm looking forward to talking about smoking weed, blah, blah, blah. You know, I had to have dinner with my real father.
Not your real father.
Your
biological one?
Yeah, over the Christmas break.
Was he the one who was the stockbroker?
Yeah.
Who paid for you to go to...
You know, I've only ever known him from the name on the checks that he would write for my very prestigious education.
For your liberal arts college you went to in the Northeast?
Yeah, and he wanted me to study television broadcasting, but I wanted to study filmmaking. You know me.
They're different.
I wanted to be a filmmaker, not television, like his father.
That's zeros and ones.
I don't want to be an executive producer on Cheers, Dad.
No.
Okay, like your best friend.
Mr. Burroughs.
I don't want to be Mr. Burroughs. I don't want to be Uncle Burroughs. I want to be my own man.
That's why you moved out from that affluent part of St. Louis out to Los Angeles.
Right.
And got that degree.
You know, and that's why I lived in that three-bedroom with that one other friend in Brentwood.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that our parents co-paid for.
I know.
And it's just so hard, you know? And it's like I'm living in your shadow.
You just need to break out.
I need to break out. And you know what I also need to do is try some of these edibles, because that shit is going to be dope.
Yeah.
And we're all going to do them. And then we're just going to record what happens,
with
man.
Doug Loves. Yeah, I got to throw it real quick to mangrate.com.
Oh, man.
Hey, so we were, the other day when we were getting high, we were cooking it up on a man grate.
Oh, man.
And so if you just go to ogkings.com.
What's my promo code, Todd?
Your promo code is going to be 01010001, Mark Chambers, and that's Chambers with a Z.
Oh, damn.
Because that's the new you.
So that brings me to my first pod trope.
Yeah.
Ad nauseum. Podcasts that seem to be nothing but ads for Audible, Mangrate, Pro Flowers. The exact same ads that every podcast on your iPod is doing.
And this stresses me out because as a podcast listener, if I listen to 7 shows that are all doing the Pro Flowers ad, I'm like, who am I giving the promo code to?
I don't know. I have one mom. And there's only one Mother's Day.
If you had multiple moms, but you know what? But sometimes you get a little stressed out because you also have a stepmother.
Mm.
And your stepmother, how did she make you feel earlier this week?
You know, we had just gotten back from tennis. And
love zero.
Yeah, yeah, it's frustrating.
Yes.
You have to rank them. You have to rank your pod makers.
Yeah,
yeah.
And let's just say, like, the other day I wanted to buy a triple headed dildo, and I wanted to go to AdamandEve.com.
Who do you give the credit to?
I was going to give it to Dan Savage, but then part of me was like, you know, Joe Rogan really looks like he needs to make his nut this month.
Yeah.
So I wasn't sure what to do.
But because you're just trying to make your nut.
I'm just trying to make my nut.
Yeah.
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 Making your nut is hard. Let me tell you the hardest thing, and I know we've got Doug Benson coming up later on the show, but I just wanted to tell you the hardest thing about paying my mortgage in Los Angeles County is PMI.
Mm.
Private Mortgage Insurance.
Oh.
And when my stepmom comes over and I got to make that PMI payment.
All right. Give me another pod trope, Mr. Perry.
Another pod trope I have is... the model median.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh.
She's a model.
Okay.
But she's a comedian.
Ah.
She has 40,000 followers on Twitter. Okay. And the only reason, like, the jokes are okay.
Mm-hmm.
They're well structured.
Yeah.
Okay. But she has a really cute photo on her Twitter. So people keep her around for like 4 months.
She's been thinking about going back to Groundlings.
Yes.
Yeah.
But she spent some time there.
Yeah. She's been there before.
Developed a mild coke habit.
Yeah.
While with her actor boyfriend who's starring on an NBC sitcom.
Right.
But she's sitting down with you.
Right.
And she's going to tell her stories about NYU.
That's right.
And when things got bad.
Bad by her definition.
This girl exists on many different podcasts. Mm-hmm. And I sat through her 3 or 4 times.
Okay.
Then I punted. Mm. I bailed.
All right.
Made hay. You ever heard her?
You know, I try not to listen to the medium. I'm not a big fan.
Okay. Yeah. Too many tropes flying at you.
Too many tropes.
You can't just sit there with your Beats headphones on without being assaulted by tropes.
Yeah.
With the utmost humility, the original kings of podcasting request that their subjects follow them on Twitter at OG Kings of Pod. Like them on Facebook at the Original Kings of Podcasting and visit their website at ogkings.com.
So I've got one that, you know, and by the way, we're not saying that either of us in this room have not done any of these. I can't absolve myself of guilt on any of this.
You know, I would put the amount of podcasts I personally put out around 600.
Yeah.
And I've definitely.
So I've got.
But I felt bad about it, is the difference.
So I have Metacast.
Oh.
Over 50% of your podcast is spent talking about your podcast.
Can I just turn off the mic right now? Or, no.
Metacasts, you can always identify by their, and there's a related trope to metacasts that I'll throw in as a bonus trope.
Bonus trope.
All apology.
Do
we have bonus trope music?
I don't know.
I have nothing.
I don't have a
royalty free ding. Right. Ding ding. So we got Metacast. Over half the podcast has been talking about the process of making the podcast, which is very closely linked but different from All Apologies, which is most of the podcast is spent with the hosts apologizing for technical and schedule limitations that are holding back the production of the podcast.
I feel like you've been a part of that before. I mean, not working with me.
Skype issues, audio quality issues, hosts not around. This is the All Apologies podcast, very closely related to the Metacast, which is spent where the hosts are constantly talking about their drive to the studio or the person's house.
Or Steve didn't show up on time.
Yeah, someone didn't show up. Or you know, if it's a pure Metacast, they're just talking about the process they went through when they got high and figured out what they were going to talk about, or when they were down at Jack in the Box, and it's all positive. No, you can identify All Apologies if it's all negative.
Okay.
It's all things that they feel are personally harming the listener, and it's because of technical flaws or production flaws with the podcast itself.
Now, but the thing is that the listener never feels put upon about any of these problems.
They wouldn't be aware of any of it if you weren't talking about it.
Yeah. And the thing that more gets my crow is the Metacast, where it's a show where you're just talking about making a show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the whole show is about Steve showed up late or the fact
that this is a pure Metacast. That's a like a subtrope of Metacast is the pure Metacast.
the podcast is entirely
about itself.
Now you're blowing my pod mind here.
Yeah.
But when the problem with the Metacast is that people get so excited they were able to actually cast pod that they want to talk about we're actually doing a podcast.
Yeah.
Dude.
Oh, isn't my mic working? I'm talking
to you right now.
Oh man, let me see if I can play some music. Oh, it worked. The board worked, guys. Every longtime listeners know the board rarely works.
Let's get this bitch out.
Oh man. Upload it.
Yeah. And people are reviewing us on iTunes.
Let's read the reviews.
Let's read all of them. But yeah. And
by the way, you've never watched an episode of The Office where halfway through Steve Carell's like, let's talk about the last issue of Variety where they talked about The Office.
No.
They're bringing you content.
Now, do you think that the Metacast exists because people don't have anything to talk about? or that it's hard to come up with topics to talk about.
Original Kings.
Or,
no, I don't want to come off like we're super arrogant.
No,
and
no.
We're just putting it out there.
We only made a show called The Original Kings of Podcasting. There's, I mean, fucking own it.
All right, fine.
Hey, own it.
All right, fine.
Own it. I've been owning it.
Have something to fucking talk about if you're going to turn on a microphone.
Yes.
Have something to say for the length at which you've given yourself to say it.
Yes.
And if you don't, consider a shorter format.
Called a tweet.
Yeah. 140 character version of audio.
Yes.
All right. Give me another pod trope, Mr. Perry.
One thing that I'm getting a little irritated with is, well, because most people assume a podcast is a comedian interviewing a comedian.
Right.
That's what a podcast is.
Right.
Has nothing to do with, you know, people talking about topics or coming up with ideas or actually riffing and trying to make some sort of comedy.
Right.
Whether, you know, if people fail or don't fail in trying to have a topic and make comedy, I think that's 10 times better than just sitting somebody down and go, so
tell me about the journey.
Tell me about when you were working at Ding Hao in 1988, right? And then the guy's like, well, you know, I worked at Ding Hao and I was working there with Bob Saget and Louis C.K.
Yeah.
And then you have this whole thing. You know, if let's just, like, if I was sitting and I had Chris Rock on the other side of me.
Sure.
I would be like, I would think to myself, I want Chris Rock to be funny.
Right.
Not tell me, I could read a story on Wikipedia.
Right.
You know, I would be like, you know, let's have a topic.
You don't want to scratch deeper?
No.
You want to know what's underneath?
No, because here's the thing. I think the biggest problem maybe, do we have a blowhard alert here?
Yeah. Environmental. I have to come up with a clever name for the pod trope of
the ghetto bird
constantly being interrupted by environmental issues, like airplanes flying over.
Oh my God! At a total brain fart.
Chris Rock, want him to be funny.
Yes, I would much prefer to sit and have Chris Rock be able to make jokes versus tell his journey. And the problem is we're ruining the idea of mystery.
Right.
In the world. Like, everybody's on... Everybody's tweeting. Everybody's Instagram.
Everybody's on them face tweets and them Instabooks.
And the Jell-O button. And the... Now... But the thing is, it's like... It's why I'm tired of looking at Dave Grohl.
Okay.
Because Dave Grohl...
Careful.
Okay, I know.
Careful.
Okay.
Tread lightly.
Hashtag real talk.
Yeah.
Is because I can't... turn anywhere without Dave Grohl giving me his opinion on rock music.
Okay.
Now, the moment you're the guy who dissects rock music and tells me why rock music means something, you now have lost your mystery as to your art and your craft.
So here's my theory on Dave Grohl, and then we'll move quickly into another pod group.
Yes. I mean, I could do 45 minutes on Dave Grohl.
I'm
very heated about Dave Grohl.
Dave Grohl is currently like the Tom Petty of our generation.
Yes.
Here's what Dave Grohl wants. Dave Grohl wants someone else to be the Dave Grohl of their generation.
Okay.
Right now, Dave Grohl is still in the shadow of legendary rockers.
Okay.
Rock is new enough that the original legendary rockers are still alive and casting a massive shadow that continues to grow. Paul McCartney collaborating with Kanye West.
Yeah.
They're still alive.
Right.
He's... in my opinion, trying to exit the shadow of legendary rockers and become Dave Grohl.
Okay.
Not Dave Grohl. Foo Fighters, they're like Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. They're, you know, universal appeal, put them at the top of any lineup. Any festival, they can headline because they just have 40,000 people will show up to see them.
Right.
You know, blah, 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 blah. But they're not the fucking... But they want other bands to be, they're like the Foo Fighters of the modern age. They want to establish that. That's why they're doing documentaries about music. Dave Grohl is like giving lectures about the ethos of music. Mm. They're trying to transcend their own name and be, they want to be a name.
Right.
They want to be the top. They don't want to be in the shadow of they're just like X. Okay. You are like them. They're not like something else.
Okay.
That's my theory on Dave Grohl.
See, my theory is, and I'll give myself 2 minutes and then we'll get back into our topic here. My theory is there's this crowd of no longer relevant rockers that hand each other awards and make speeches.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You got your Bruce Springsteens, your Bonos,
yeah,
and they all gather around mics and wear tuxedos at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they sit around and they go, you know what? Mavis Staples was a brilliant singer. Let's give her a fucking award, right?
Yeah, yeah.
While there's these real guys sweating it out, making real relevant music, working hard, and these guys have graduated into this Hall of Fame of irrelevancy. And Dave Grohl was like, you know, I'm going to be the guy who makes a speech at every event and make sure that everybody knows I'm very likable. Now, I'm the nice guy thing, he's pushing so, like, look, I'm in this world, but I'm just like you, man.
Yeah.
Eventually it wears thin.
Okay.
And for years it worked with me. And I like Dave Grohl. Mm. And I've liked some of the Foo Fighters music. And I love Nirvana. But eventually it got to the point where it's like, now the world is pushing Dave Grohl on me real hard.
Dave Grohl used to be pushing the world to include Dave Grohl.
Now
Dave Grohl is pushing himself. He's got enough momentum to just push himself anywhere he wants to push himself. It's too much.
Right.
Too much for Todd Perry.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
Not saying I hate the guy.
One of mine, which you totally nailed, was hosts have feelings too.
Mm.
And it's hosts that rely heavily on the fact that they're emotionally damaged in some way and cannot function like normal people.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So I'll go with another one, I have a quick one, which we can just laugh at and move on, because we've both, I assume, been guilty of this, and every pod at some point has pushed this trope forward. It's been a long time, friend.
Okay.
Podcasts that are perpetually going on hiatus, taking mysterious breaks, announcing and then never adhering to schedules.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the majority of pod.
Yes.
That is a trope that pod will never shake, and it shouldn't. And I'm not saying, by the way, just because something's a trope doesn't mean you get negative.
Right.
It's just a commonality, you know. This is a trope that many podcasts exhibit.
Yeah.
They just disappear. Right. And then they're back like nothing happened.
Right.
And then they're gone
because people are dynamic.
Where'd it go?
Wait, was that the Jim Gaffigan voice?
I don't know.
Where'd it go?
Where'd it go? And then I had my last one was it the exact same cat? Nice little Matrix reference.
Oh, okay.
Podcasts that poll guests that are making the podcast rounds.
Oh, so you hear the same story on seven shows in a row?
Comedians that will pretty much agree to appear on any podcast that has more than a few listeners.
Right.
And you will hear the exact same stories because the hosts ask the exact same questions.
But then the guy hosting the show has no idea that I'm hearing this story from Jim Jeffries for the ninth time.
Because he's either not tuned in or he's taken to heart he's desperate to not be a metacast.
Right.
And
because he has a comedian guest.
Right. Because so you could also have like a podcast-averse trope where they try and exist inside the podcast universe.
Oh, so you could actually...
And they constantly reference other podcasts.
Yeah.
So that'd be another good trope, the cast-averse.
Where you could create a galaxy like with different stars, the constellation of podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, like, this star aligns to this one, and this one. And you could create a content... what would you call it? Galaxy or some kind of linking that brought it all together.
So they'll just be referencing like, oh, you know, so-and-so appeared on this podcast and, you know, my good friend, blah, 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 who hosts this cast at blahblahblah.com, subscribe on iTunes, blah, blah, blah. So they create this tapestry. So then maybe this person is trying, you know, they're not part of that. So then they're for the ninth time, or they are part of it. So as part of an unwritten rule of being part of it, you can't acknowledge that this guest has been on every other podcast, because that would make them feel like they're whores.
Right.
So you have to give a completely original interview.
Because it's one thing to be a whore when you're on, like, you know, I did CBS radio in every different market.
Mm-hmm.
Being a pod whore.
Yeah.
It feels like a lower level. Not to degrade podcasting at all.
No.
I would put it on the same level as any other broadcast medium. But
you're talking about the same audience. Like, yeah. It's like, if you're talking about I did Dubuque, and then I did Indy, and then I did, I did Philly.
There's separation.
Yeah, yeah. It's different listeners in different cars going to different jobs.
Right.
We treat it on pod as if it's the same thing, but it's the same audience. No,
you just did Jay Moore, and then you did, Mark Maron the next week, and then you did Carolla the next week. Don't tell me the same story.
Those are all in my playlist. I listen to all three of them on the same commute.
Right.
At 2X. Mm-hmm.
So what I think we can maybe boil this down to, possibly, call to action.
Actionable items.
Actionable items is maybe have your own topics.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe have something to say besides interviewing people.
Yep.
Or talking about how everybody in the room got there. Can I end with one last trope?
Give me one last trope.
This is something I don't understand.
Okay. Oh boy.
Wu-Tang podcasting.
Oh no.
9 people on mic.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't need more than 3.
No.
Because at that point...
The fourth guy.
How does anybody who... Even if you listen to a show that was 5 days a week,
mm-hmm.
How do you keep track of 5 different human being lives outside from your own life? You're asking so much of an audience.
Here's the thing. I think I can sum this up for you, Don.
Yeah.
Podcasting is like sex. The best sex of your life is 2 people. That's just you and the other person, and they're just going at it. You can introduce a third, and that's an exciting...
Yeah, exactly.
That's something that you're just not going to get very often.
Freddie Tinkleman.
That just feels good, right?
Yeah.
And that's exciting, and that's new, and then when it's back down to 2 people, it's like that's a return to form, and you almost missed it.
Yeah.
But then you introduce that third, and you're like, oh, this is exciting again. 4, someone's not sure what to do.
Yeah.
If they're all involved at once, because it could very easily become 2 people times 2, but if they're all involved, no one's sure what to do. When you hit 5, all right, now it's just a mess.
Well, no, if you back up to 4, person 4, because they're going to know their spot in the hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, the seats are laid out.
Okay.
By the way, the mixer is facing them.
Mm.
Now, the fourth person has a certain amount of pod anxiety,
mm-hmm.
and they may need to overachieve.
Yeah.
Try to overtalk.
They're grabbing at random stuff.
Trying to tie things together that don't need to be tied together.
Yeah. The tack on. And you know what else?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My belief in the fifth person,
you're
just expendable.
Yeah.
You know?
If you're the fifth person, you better be holding the camera.
Yeah. Sexually as well, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, I didn't know we had related it back to pod. I was still on sex.
So fingers were pointed and aspersions were thrown at podcasters that have more popular shows than anything done by Mark C. or Todd P., who still call themselves kings of podcasting.